Tonight, 1 Corinthians. Take your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read only two verses. I'll read them both to you aloud. You can just follow along there silently. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last two verses of chapter 15, verse 57 and verse 58. 58 will be our text verse this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says in verse number 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The last sentence there will be the title of this evening's message, "That your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, it is impossible for one man, Lord, to meet the needs of so many. Lord, it is impossible for one man to take this truth, Lord, and to preach it adequately. So, Lord, I'm asking tonight, Lord, that I step aside and Holy Spirit, you teach through me. Lord, may this truth spill over into our hearts and our minds and make a difference in our lives. We love you and we thank you. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't think that I am an important person, but I count my time important. I've got a fair amount of projects to complete, and I don't particularly enjoy spending time with people who waste my time. And I don't particularly enjoy wasting a lot of time. Now, there's times where I do waste time. Most of it's on purpose. I'm almost going to take 30 minutes here and do absolutely nothing. I need to relax. But as a general rule of thumb, we don't like people wasting our lives. Many of you, you have a trade in life, whether you're a carpenter or a plumber. You don't walk into your job unaware of what's going on. You know exactly what's going on, and you feel comfortable at your job. But if I were to take you as a plumber, put you into a building, and say, "Now rewire this building," you would start to feel uncomfortable, and before too long, you're going to quit because you have no idea what's going on. I don't know of anybody who wants to spend their time, their life, and their money investing in something that's not going to be beneficial to them. So because of that, many Christians never invest their lives into spiritual things, because they don't see it being beneficial to them. Or they're just not seeing the benefits when they think they should see it. They're looking for those benefits right away. You've seen or heard, or maybe you've experienced yourself going to a gym, looking for those results. 6 months goes by and the waistline's only expanded. And you seem like you're going backwards. Well, I might as well just stop. And why? You don't think it's helping you out at all. You're going through all this effort and you're not getting anything for it, so why am I going to even go? Many times a Christian won't get involved, or he won't commit to the Christian life, because they're intimidated by difficulties. They're intimidated by these failures. And we need to recognize that the only failure, now catch this statement, the only failure that you can experience in the Christian life is by not trying at all or by giving up. Everything else in the Christian life can only be successful. We need to realize, take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to use your Bibles a little bit tonight. We need to realize as a Christian that we are promised the victory before the battle even begins. What football team do you know walks onto the field already writing a W in the book? They don't. What baseball team do you know that goes out there and before they even finish the game, they're writing a W in the column? It's definitely not the Orioles. Amen, Brother Sear? It doesn't happen that way. But did you know that you and I as a Christian, we can walk onto the battlefield of life every day with a W in the win column before we even step on the field? Amen. We were promised the victory before we ever even saw battle. Look what the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And look what he says. "For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a Christian, what keeps a new convert from getting involved in church? Well, I don't have anything to offer the church. Well, the pastor just doesn't know my background. Well, you just don't know who I am. Let me tell you, you don't know who my God is. My God is known for being able to take the inadequate and equip them for doing something great for Him. My God is able to take the blind and give them sight. My God is able to take the crippled and make them to walk. My God is able to take the demon-possessed and to remove those spirits, put His Holy Spirit in them, and make them a testimony for His own ministry. Yes, sir. We serve in an amazing God, and in our Christian life, it is extremely important that we don't have a defeatist attitude. We need to realize that we have the victory before we even have a battle. So when you face difficult situations in your life, you ever found yourself saying, is it really worth it? How about Bible-based child rearing? Well, that's a tough one, especially in today's day and age. We've got a lot of things that we didn't have 60, 70, 80 years ago. Now, that's not a true statement. There are still the same things, but it's just more readily available to us. They're more prominent. How about a consistency in your walk with God? You ever, man, boy, this is going great. Boy, I've been 3 days in a row, and then next thing you know, it's been 2 weeks and hasn't been going very well. How about your personal standards? You're thinking, is it really a big deal? Is it really worth it? I mean, is it really worth following what the Bible says? I mean, I know what it says, but does it really mean that? Isn't there a little fluctuation in there? How about our church attendance or maybe our soul winning? When you face these situations, how many times have you caught yourself saying, is it even worth it? I mean, look who I am. I'm just 12 or 13, or look how I'm an older person. I don't have much left to give. And I've maybe wasted some of my life. I've been a pretty good person, but I don't have much more to give. Is it really worth it? Or have you thought to yourself, boy, it'd just be a whole lot easier if we just give in. You know, I haven't reared any children of my own, but I've seen it over and over again, and I've heard parents tell me, well, sometimes it's just I get tired of fighting the battles. Just let them do what they want. It'd be so much easier. You know, in the Christian life, it feels the same way. You know, is it really worth the headache of sometimes trying to get something and we don't understand what we're reading, or is it we're new to the soul winning and we get discouraged, or we're not necessarily the best at our church attendance and we're getting discouraged? Is it really worth the headache? I live a busy schedule. Is it really worth it? This life we're called to live can be difficult. But let me ask this question. How much more difficult is it going for you to face your Heavenly Father and explain to Him why you didn't do what you're supposed to do? The key to tonight's message is understanding this one truth. My life as a whole can improve and be successful because I'm grounded in Christ. I'm not talking about just your church attendance. I'm talking about your business. I'm talking about every area of your life, your finances, your personal relationships, your family, any area that you look at. If you take this truth tonight and apply it, because why? Number one, we've seen that we have the victory before that battle begins. But also, as a Christian, I've got the confidence of knowing that if I am obedient, then it will always work out. What does the Bible say in Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, it does not say that it's going to work out to my benefit. It doesn't say that it's going to feel good. It doesn't say that I'm going to be able to see that it works out. But it tells me that if I am obedient, everything that I am obedient in will be successful. It will be profitable. The Bible encourages us in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look at verse number 58. The message tonight is simple. My labor is not in vain, because it is in the Lord. And I want to look at this verse here, in verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. So it is a commandment from Paul to the Corinthian church to say, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And notice verse 57. The reason he is able to give you verse 58 is because it says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. We already have that victory. So I can be steadfast. I can be unmovable. And I can always be abounding in what area, whatever area of life that God has called me to live. No matter where God has called me to live, that he tells me that I can be profitable. Verse number 58, it says, be ye steadfast. That word steadfast means to be firm in purpose. It means to have a fixed direction, and it means to be fixed in position. As if you were to take that board, take that nail or that screw, and attach that board in place. That board is now fixed. That board is not intended to never move again. And in the Christian life, God is encouraging you to say, hey, be fixed in a position. Be firm in your purpose. Be fixed in that direction. Locked in and zoned in one direction. Did you realize that the purpose of a Christian never changes? The Bible has told us in Romans 8:28 that all things will work together for good, those who are called according to his purpose. Now, if I'm trying to fulfill my purpose for my life, then all things will not work together as they should. Now, I might look across the way and see somebody who I know is fulfilling pleasures in their own purpose, and it looks to them as if they're having a little bit easier of a time at it. Christian life is difficult. Let's just get down the nuts and bolts of it. It's not easy. Some of the things that we're called to do, we look at what we're doing and we can say, it would be so much easier if we didn't have to deal with all this monkey business. Some of this is just crazy. Do I really need to do this? And I look across the way and I see somebody that's not living life. It seems life is just hunky-dory for them. They don't have any problems. They don't have any heartaches. But as David said, I was envious of the wicked until I went into the house of God. Until I understood their end. David said, I saw where they ended up, and then I realized this way truly is the best way. What is our purpose as a Christian? God created us to walk with him. But because man sinned, we could not walk as close to him as God wanted. And now the work of God began. And also, then after that, our goal was to glorify God with all of our actions, our body. Our purpose as a Christian does not change. I am to walk with God, I am to work for God, and I am to glorify God. And if I am doing what he has called me to do, I will never be wanting, and I will always be satisfied. Let's look at your life as a Christian. When were you the happiest? Was it when you were constantly debating on what the preacher said? Well, I wonder if I'm going to actually do this. I'll do this, but not that. Or was it the day when you finally said, okay, I don't understand it, but I'm just going to do it? Was it that day? Or how many people have you seen that have lived their lives regretting that they actually lived their life for God? But I could line them up by the thousands of people that said, I wish I would have. I wish I didn't. I wish someone would have told me. I wish. The lost still need saving. The hurting people still need loved, and the discouraged still need encouraged. My purpose as a Christian does not change. Regardless of how bad the world is, regardless of how negative this life may seem, my purpose as a Christian remains firm. My path as a Christian also remains firm. According to Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now listen to this. Because the Bible never changes, and it always yields the same results, then if I walk in the path that God's word has laid out, then I will always get the same results. As a Christian, we don't want our life to be in vain. If church is not real, you've heard preachers say this, if Jesus is still in the tomb, let's close up shop and let's go out and live the life that we want to live, because all this is for nothing. We don't want to live this life in vain. No, this life is too difficult. There's too many things that we face in this life for it to not be real. But if it's real, let's walk with confidence. Let's walk steadfastly, knowing that if I follow the instructions that have been laid out for me in this book, that it will work out as it should. The Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet. That lamp may not light up the whole path, but it'll light up the next step. Too many of us are worried that we can't see what's at the end. All we can see is the next step in front of us. Maybe if we could see the whole path, we'd never take the next step. Because if you'd have told me 10 years ago I did some of the things I'd have been doing, I'd have said, ain't no way, see you later, buddy. I am not going to be doing that. God knows what we need. He doesn't promise to show us the whole path, but he says, my word will show you the next step. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible tells me that if I am following this plan that is laid out for me, then my labor will not be in vain. My position as a Christian never changes. I love this. In this life, there are problems. Everybody has a heartache. You heard preachers say it a few weeks ago. You never know what's behind the next door. And it's so true. You never know what is behind that smile. You never know what is behind that warm handshake. But we can know as a Christian that our position with Christ never changes. As a child of God, I will never have to worry about my standing with God. If you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a saved, born again child of God, and you will never have to wonder what your position with your Heavenly Father is going to be. Well, you just don't know what sin I've committed. You just don't know what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a child of God, the Bible tells me that not only are my sins covered by the blood, but He imputed not unrighteousness to my record. The Bible tells me when God looks at me, He sees the spotless Son of God. He sees His own Son's record in my place. Not only does He see me as sinless, He sees me as His Son. This is my standing as a child of God. And if you're having a bad day, things are not going like it should, take a few minutes and to think about that and go ahead and still remain discouraged. Think about that the worst thing that could happen is that you're going to end up going to heaven. Think about that the worst thing that could happen is that God might have to come along and meet a need. We all want God to do something in our lives, but there must first be that need. And when those needs come to our life, it is so easy to forget what our position is as a Christian. I love what Psalms 91:4 says. He tells us that our position as a Christian is under His wings. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. I believe David was used to pen this one day while after a storm. I can't prove it, but I think he went out in the middle of a field one day, saw a bad windstorm. We've heard the stories, we've seen it. The old mother hen took all those chicks and gathered them in under her wings. The mother hen herself had died and had sacrificed her life, but when those wings had opened up, underneath was the life of all those chicks. And that is exactly what God does for you and I when the storms of life begin to blow. He gives us the truth of the Word of God, and He says, I will be your shield. I will be your buckler. When you face the criticism from family, when you face the scoffers of those that are attempting to belittle your attempt to be something that they say, oh, you'll never be like that. We know what you used to be. Yes, they're right, but I know what I can be through the grace of God. And I know that His truth, His word, His love, and His wings are there. And my position as a Christian is sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. Paul tells the Christians in Corinth, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Why? Because you've got victory. Your purpose has not changed as a Christian. Your path and your direction has not changed. And your position as a Christian has not changed. The second thing that Paul tells these Christians, he says, your labor is not in vain, because he says your labor is unmovable. That cemented pillar. That word unmovable means unable to be influenced by feelings. Unable to be moved from one's opinion. It is a permanent, fixed thing. In this world, we are to be unmovable Christians. Now, when I begin to think about the opinions of others around me, I may begin to be swayed. But if I'm grounded and rooted in the Word of God, if I am focused on what God wants me to do, then it is then that I, as a Christian, become unmovable. In our Christian life, my final destination is unmovable. Look what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28. The Bible tells me that my final destination is unmovable. My living situations on this earth might change. My financial status may shift. My social status may increase or decrease on my abilities. But my final destination as a Christian will never change. We sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." But how come then when things of this world begin to fall apart, we become discouraged and we become focused on our earthly things? The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 24, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The Bible tells me that as a Christian, I can continue to serve. How was Job in the face of the death of his children? In the face of the death of his co-workers? In the mockery and all the blasphemy that he received, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him"? How was Job able to do that? Job was able to see that his position as a Christian, he was steadfast as a Christian because he realized where he was headed. He was steadfast in his position. He was also realizing that he as a Christian was unmovable. His flesh may have failed him. His family may have failed him. His friends may have failed him. His finances may have fled, and his flock may have been taken away from him. But his heavenly Father never once turned his back on him. And Job was able to stay steadfast and unmovable. How was Stephen able to take the stoning of the religious crowd? And how was Stephen, through all the tears and the pain, able to forgive the crowd around him who had gnashed on him? Because he remained unmovable. Because the Bible says he looked towards heaven. And on the right hand of the throne of God, he saw Jesus standing. When life gets difficult, you need to look up. When life is too hard to stand, it's time that you kneel and turn your head, turn your eyes to the Heavenly Father and begin to see what He can do in your life. Not only is my final destination unmovable, but according to the book of Psalms, my footing is unmovable. In Psalms 121, the Bible says that He will not suffer the foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I don't have to worry about my life. My life is not in my own hands. It is in the hands of my Heavenly Father. I'm glad to know that I'm not holding on to Him, but that He is holding on to me. When life gets tough, when I am the one running, when I am the one discouraged, when I am the one that let go, as Peter found out, his eyes were fixed on Jesus. He saw the storms. He heard the thunder. The lightning began to crack across the sky, and he began to be discouraged, and he began to sink. But he did not have to worry about his own abilities because Jesus reached out his hand and was there. And I believe hand in hand they walked back across those rugged seas to that ship. And then Jesus was able to show Peter his faithlessness. And Peter from that point on was able to have a little bit of a stronger reliance upon Jesus Christ because he understood that it was not his own abilities that would get him through the storms of life. It was not his ability that would keep his footing sure in life, that would keep him standing. It was Jesus Christ. I love what Psalms 55 says. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Is it too much for you to bear? Then give it to Him. He's not asking you to bear it all. Now, we have a fleshly body, and there are burdens that we must carry. But have you given it to Him? Have you given the heartache? Have you given the wayward child? Have you given the lost loved one? Have you given the physical ailment to Him? Give it to Him. Let God have those burdens. Let Him carry those, and He will sustain thee. As a Christian, the Bible tells us that therefore, my beloved brethren, we are to be steadfast. We are to be unmovable. And lastly and thirdly, we are to be always abounding. That word abounding means to be well supplied. It means to exist in great number. It also means to be filled to maximum capacity. My labor in Christ is not in vain. My soul winning is not in vain, even when I mess up. My soul winning is not in vain, even when I don't see the results that I think I should see. My Christian life, although I try hard, I still fail. My personal approach, my personal attempt to be a good person, no matter how many times I get discouraged, I can know that when the just man falleth, he riseth yet again. And as a Christian, I can always get up. Why? Because my labor is not in vain if it's in the Lord. If my labor is unmovable, my labor is steadfast, and now my labor is abounding. You know that I am not trusting in my own abilities, or I'm not trusting in somebody else for increase. In our own personal life, I mean, look around. What can we do? The book of Matthew says, can a man with thinking, can he add to his stature? Go ahead and think about it and make yourself grow. You can't do it. So when we look around, there's something in our life that we want to see accomplished. And there's no way that we can do it ourselves. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us this book. We have no ability to understand this book on our own. So it is only through prayer and yielding to the Holy Spirit that He becomes our teacher. We have no ability to understand what God has for us. But it is through the Holy Spirit's power, through the preaching of God's Word, that our eyes are open, that our ears then understand and hear the truth that was once so long misunderstood. The scales have now been removed because of the Bible, because of the truth, because of Jesus' promise that if I do my labor in Him, I will always abound. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 7. I'm not trusting in my ability to amount to anything. I would too also get discouraged if I had to look in the mirror every morning and realize that my success depended on the person that I was looking at. I would be discouraged if I realized that my spiritual well-being was up to me. I would be discouraged if I went out soul winning thinking that it was up to me to get somebody to come to church. I would be discouraged and I would not want to do anything for Christ. But I don't have to be that way because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Some of you absolutely have no ability to get out on the street and go door knocking. It would absolutely kill you. You'd never be able to do it. How much time did you spend in prayer this week praying for the soul winners? You're watering. We need prayer warriors. When you can't do it physically, get on your knees and pray. Sit there and pray. Lie on your back and pray. Everybody has something they can do. You don't have to feel discouraged when you go out and you don't think you see the results. God says, it's not he that watereth that is anything. It's not he that planteth that is anything. It is God that gives the increase in due season. I love what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Down in verse number 20, it tells us, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be thanks. Grace Baptist Church is not here because of us. Grace Baptist Church is not here because of any single person. It is here because of the power of God. It is here because of all of you yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing God to work through you, to use you as a testimony, to bring and invite people to church. You see, it is not us that does anything at all. Our labor is in vain if we do it in our own strength and in our own power and in our own might. But if we take what we have and allow God to work through us, we will see things that we would have never imagined. My labor is not in vain because my labor is always abounding. If my actions are scripturally based, then I will always see the results that I am looking for. First, 2 Peter chapter 1 tells me, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to learn more about Jesus Christ? Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be abounding. Approach that time of Bible reading, understanding you already have the victory over the carnal mind. You already have the victory over the lack of understanding. And it is now that you just must simply yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to speak to you and through the Word of God. Do you want to see the fruit in your life? Are you a soul winner and you want to see God do more in your life? You want to see God use you? You want to see God do something special with you? Allow God. Realize that it is not your ability that brings this fruit. It is Him in you abounding that causes you to neither be barren nor unfruitful.
That's good.
I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says. Every man, according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You ever struggled with the thought of tithing? I don't know about you, but I know every once in a while I look at my budget and like to see a little bit more in there. And there's every once in a while some things start to go wrong and car breaks down. Amen, brothers, here. An old truck ready to put a stick of dynamite in it. Somebody gets sick. Dr. Bill shows up and you realize, well, I can't pay. Oh, if I look at that. That's pretty close to my tithe amount. If I just use it this one week, and I'll make up for it later. Look what the Bible says. God is able. Are you going to trust in your own ability to provide for your needs? Or are you going to trust in God's ability to provide for your needs? We sing the song, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The old mountain preacher once said, He not only owns the cows on the hills, He also owns the taters in the hills. He owns everything. My Father is rich in wealth and houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in His hands. When we have a need, why do we turn to ourselves for the answer? Christians, tonight the truth is very simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. You have victory in every area of your life. There's not one area that you can't see victory, whether it's through soul winning, whether it's through Bible reading, whether it's through your prayer time. Maybe you're struggling personally in another area that nobody may know about. You already have the victory. It's time to stop focusing on your inability. It is time to take a step of faith and say, I know I can't do this, but I am willing to step out and attempt this in His ability. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye unmovable. Be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain. This Christian life is worth it. It's worth the hours. It is worth the sweat. It is worth the tears. It is worth the time. It is worth the headache. It is worth the money. It is worth everything that it takes to make a difference in somebody's life. Don't give up. Don't quit. My labor is not in vain as long as it's in the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The truth of this evening was simple. I can rest assured knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Please don't live your life falsely investing in the things of this world that will one day fade away. The Bible tells us, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Some of you may have been struggling. Well, I just don't know if I can do anything for God. Some of you are at a point in your life where you're wondering, well, I'd like to do more, but I just don't think there's any more I can do. Tonight, the truth was simple. You can do it. If there's something that God is tugging on your heart to do, to get involved somewhere in the ministries, to be a testimony, to witness to a coworker, to witness to a family member, to do whatever, your labor is not in vain as long as it's in the Lord.